good morning, TNC family, on this second Sunday in 2024, where today here we are in part two of a four-part series called Where Are You Going? Where Are You Going? Although specifically today I want to talk about where are we going? We. Because it's Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, and as I talk to you now, I am sitting outside downtown in our hometown at the Martin Luther King Jr. National Historical Park. It's also the place where Martin Luther King and his wife Coretta Scott are buried at this memorial park. There's also a beautiful reflecting pool here surrounded by cobblestone paths and stone benches. And in front of me now where I sit is the eternal flame, a powerful symbol of where are we going, because a flame is never static. It's alive and dancing and reaching and bringing ongoing light and heat to all who come near. And it reflects this ongoing where are we going nature of the effort to realize Dr. King's dream. It's a dream that still burns. And what I want to do now here is simply share with you three of my favorite where are we going forward-looking phrases, lines, quotes, ideas that King often spoke about. And my guess is you will recognize them when I read them. But I want to share them with you here, followed by a few thoughts about them, and then what it means for where we are going. And I hope you'll not just listen now, but prayerfully and personally and introspectively take in these words and even ask God to speak to you through them. Here's the first forward-looking phrase. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. This is, of course, a directional phrase, a where are we going phrase, a phrase King used over and over in his travels from church to church and gathering to gathering and home to home. King was paraphrasing part of a sermon delivered in 1853 by the abolitionist minister Theodore Parker, who called on a nation to move towards, to take steps toward justice. And not just justice, but its biblical companions, freedom, equality, common humanity, dignity. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And one of the things, TNC, we have to celebrate today, this weekend, is overall, the America of the 21st century has, for all of its shortcomings, seen the arc moving toward justice. Which is not always easy to see, because too often we focus on the places we have yet to go. We complain, we protest, we get discouraged about where we are and where we are not yet. But the flame calls us to celebrate today that America is in many ways freer and more accepting than it has ever been. I mean, review your history and you'll see that over time, the arc of the moral universe has bent toward justice for women and African Americans and immigrants and others in our country. The journey to live out the meaning of our creed, that all of us are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, has progressed, and it continues to progress even now. Last week, I pulled out my notes from January 2022. The day I spent in Selma, where I walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge and I met with folks at the National Voting Rights Museum there, and we reflected together on that bloody Sunday, March 7, 1965. That same day, I went to the Brown Chapel AME Church, the church where the march was organized, and I met with their pastor, Leotis Strong, and we spent an hour or so together, talking together and praying together. And as we toured the church that day, he said to me, "You know, David, progress in America has been slow, painful, but we are making progress. Please tell your congregation we are making progress, and they are part of the reason." TNC, progress has been made because of brave women and men who have walked across bridges, and voting centers and churches and streets and cul-de-sacs and classrooms, and who have done so with love and faith, standing up and speaking up for the cause of human rights and civil rights. In my notes last year, last January, when I was in Troy, Alabama, and I visited the tiny brick house where the late civil rights leader John Lewis lived and grew up as one of 10 children, and where I met for an hour with John Lewis's brothers, Sam and Henry, in my notes, I jotted down one of the things Sam said to me, because his family now owns the land, acres and acres there in Troy. But his great-great-grandparents did not own any land, and so he said, "We are holding on and we are making progress because the arc of the moral universe, where are we going, bends toward beauty and justice and hope and love if we decide to be part of that arc." Because of course it's not inevitable. Every advance competes against forces of resistance. Think of the years after Lincoln, how the America that freed the slaves endured a bloody and a fragile reconstruction, and a century of regional retaliation with Jim Crow laws and so on, but we kept making progress. And think about the years of Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, the early 1900s as our country was industrializing and embracing women's rights and other progressive reforms. We were still tormented by philosophies of racial superiority and fears of others invading our way of life, but we kept making progress. Because all progress, TNC, comes in the face of challenge. And this flame calls us to remember that, but also to feel the warmth and the good of how far we've come. To celebrate the progress, the movement from injustice to justice, from slavery to freedom, from "I'm better than you" to "in Christ, there is no Greek nor Jew, male nor female, rich nor poor, slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." So let's remember that the arc of the moral universe is long and it bends toward justice, and we are part of that arc. Now, here's the second forward-looking, "where are you going" phrase, "where are we going?" Actually, this is six short sentences that Martin Luther King preached from a pulpit in a famous sermon, made more famous, you may know, because King would be dead before the week was out. This was his final Sunday sermon. 4 days later, he would be martyred by an assassin's bullet outside a motel room in Memphis, April 4, 1968. But standing behind a pulpit in Washington, D.C., in the famous Washington National Cathedral, behind the ornate Canterbury pulpit, gazing out across the massive nave, summoning his listeners to the eternal work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, quote, "We are tied together in a single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, and whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the way God's universe is made. This is the way it is structured. We are tied together. We are one human race," he said. And I think sometimes groups of people forget that. But as followers of Jesus, we cannot. We must remember that long before there were Americans and non-Americans, Christians and non-Christians, rich and poor, black and white, there was just humans. This is why the late Rabbi Jonathan Sacks often commented that the number one thing behind bigotry and violence was the belief that those who do not share my faith or my race or my ideology do not share my humanity. At the best, they are second-class citizens. At worst, they forfeit the sanctity of life itself. They are unsaved, the unbelievers, the infidel. No, he says, we must realize and live from the reality that we are all tied together in a single garment of destiny. TNC, Jesus lived this out in his life. Read about how he responded to the Samaritan woman, the Roman centurion, the Syro-Phoenician mother. Remember what Peter learned in his experience with Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, including a realization that he should be very careful about who he talked about people of other religious backgrounds. part of being tied together in this inescapable network of mutuality means, I think, that we must also feel connected with folks who have come before us, but who are no longer with us. Because it's not just about me and who is in my path today. No, we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. I remember feeling this deeply in January of 2021, the week that I took a handful of days to visit Montgomery, Alabama, and the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church that King pastored, and also the site of the Montgomery bus boycott and the Rosa Parks Museum and the Freedom Rides Museum there in Montgomery. That was also the year that I spent time in Greensboro, North Carolina, at the site of the 1960 Greensboro sit-ins at the Woolworth store there, now the International Civil Rights Center and Museum, where four black students at North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, the Greensboro Four, on February 1, 1960, sat down on blue and pink stools at that Woolworth lunch counter and asked for the same service as that given white customers, but were denied it, launching the famous sit-ins and even more the civil rights movement of the 1960s. And I met for over an hour that day with the curator of that museum, and in my notes I wrote, "We stand on the shoulders of these four today." Because we are united in a single garment of destiny, and in the same way that Isaac stood on the shoulders of Abraham, Joseph on the shoulders of Jacob, Joshua on the shoulders of Moses, Ruth on the shoulders of Naomi, we stand here today on the shoulders of George Washington, James Madison, Abigail Adams, Harriet Tubman, Abraham Lincoln, Susan B. Anthony, and the Greensboro Four, and thousands more, including this weekend we remember on the shoulders of Martin Luther King Jr. By the way, our children and grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, will stand on the shoulders of the legacy we leave. Because it's an eternal flame stretching back and also reaching forward. We are tied together in a single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. And whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And finally, here's the third forward-looking phrase. Famous words spoken from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial on that Wednesday, August 28, 1963. Part of King's "I Have a Dream" riff. First, he quotes the prophet Isaiah, you might remember, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and every mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." He quotes Isaiah, and then he pauses, and he says that day from those steps, "This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope." Which reminds me of something simple and powerful that Eleanor Roosevelt said in 2020. Some of you will remember we actually canceled our Sunday services at the church, and we all went together to the Civil and Human Rights Museum in Atlanta. And at the museum, there's a section featuring Eleanor Roosevelt and the movement for women's rights in our nation. And there was this quote that she said, quote, "It is more intelligent to hope rather than to fear, to try rather than not to try." Once again, that forward-looking word, hope. And so on this holiday weekend, 2024, we must choose to live in hope. Something I believe we can do, in the words of historian John Meacham in his amazing book, The Soul of America, if the men and women of the past, with all their flaws and limitations and ambitions and appetites, could press on through ignorance and superstition, racism and sexism, selfishness and greed, to create a freer, stronger nation, then perhaps we too can right wrong and take another step toward the most enchanting and elusive of destinations, a more perfect union. And I would add, TNC, that as Jesus followers, we must be people who refuse to fear, who refuse to conform to the status quo, And instead, we must put into practice immoderate, intemperate, seemingly impossible realities. Love your enemies. Overcome evil with good. Die to yourself. Forgive 70 times 7, and so on. Because the arc of the moral universe is long and bends toward justice. Because we are all tied together in an inescapable network of mutuality. And because, with this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us live out this dream. I pray that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood and sisterhood at the great banquet table of our God, a banquet that isn't only in a far-off future, but a banquet that you invite us to participate in today, across all of our tables and situations and realities, at home, in our community, and in our world. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that he would turn his face toward you and give us peace. Amen.